So you're very welcome back to the Art Show on Near FM. And next up on the show, I'm joined by one of Ireland's rising stars. She's an actress and a writer, and she's got a brand new show, I See You, coming up at the Theatre Upstairs very shortly. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So you're right smack bang in the middle of rehearsals as we speak, getting ready for the new production.
Yes, I am indeed. I've literally just stepped out on my break now. So we're gearing up now. We're getting the last few miles.
So, Amy, so to take us back, I mean, you're an actress, but you've, for a long time, you've been doing your own writing, and quite early on in your career, you started your own theatre company. So you've always been someone who's kind of made things happen for themselves, as well as, obviously, as any actor does, goes out and auditions for roles and is looking to be cast by other directors.
Yeah, I think it all kind of started in drama school. I went to drama school in London, and the particular one we went to, they were kind of always encouraged us to really be able to be productive, create our own work. They kind of set us up with that leaving, you know, just the awareness of it's not necessarily going to happen that you're going to go straight into something. So it was always in the back of my mind. And I think when I started the theatre company over in London, it was just to keep working, to keep ticking over. Because I started noticing you might get one or two TV gigs and then there might be nothing for a while. And, you know, the reality kind of sank in. And then in about 2010, after doing some sort of devised pieces with the theatre company, I just kind of started to write my own stuff. And I just found like I really enjoyed it. I felt like I had a voice. It gave me some control over my career, and it fulfills me creatively as well, which is really important when you're an actor, because the worst part is when you're not working and you don't feel fulfilled.
And it's such a tough industry as well. I mean, you know, rejection is such an inherent part of it. How do you deal with those kind of pressures as an actor?
Yeah, it is really hard, but I think you have to just develop a thick skin, and it be like water off a duck's back. And every audition that you do is just like you do your best attempt at it. You present the character in a way that you feel, you know, that resonates with you, and then you hope it resonates with them, and you have to just do it like that and not kind of be leaping ahead too much. I think when you start leaping ahead going, oh, I really need this job, or I'd really love the money for this, or I think that's when you can really do your own head in. So I think it's just that each audition is just like a little creative experience where you're finding a little character, presenting it, and then hoping for the best.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you've had some really amazing roles to date, and I guess Penny Dreadful and Jason Bourne would be two of the big ones that have been in your career so far.
Yeah, I mean, they're big productions, but like with most kind of working actors, they're small enough roles, but in very big productions, but incredible experiences because you're working with people at the top of their game, and the productions are on such a huge scale that you're really getting to see how each and every element comes together. So yeah, no, they were great. And I've just finished doing Vikings as well there recently, the last block of Vikings. And that, you know, so they've been doing it, about 6 or 7 years now. And you can see how well-oiled a machine they are. So those things are just great learning experiences, and you're working with incredible people. So they're all very exciting, and they all kind of have their merit in different ways. Being doing a huge job like that, or a theatre gig, or, you know.
Yeah. And so I guess, and they're so different in terms of, I'm assuming, I don't know what your role is in Vikings, but it involves a bit of action, or are you kicking any ass, yeah. Amy?
Well, the last thing I filmed was arriving on a horse to battle and sending people to battle. So I wasn't getting my hands too dirty in that one. I did a film, which is more me ordering people to do it. So that was the last scene we shot. But when I was doing The Crown and the Dragon a few years ago, that was a great one. It was a feature film. It was my first lead in a feature. And it was a medieval film, lots of fighting, lots of, like, basically loads of action. And that was an incredible experience, getting to do that side of things as well.
And was that something you had to have a lot of training for? Is that, you know, when you see actor CVs, you always see these kind of list of things like singing and horse riding, but people don't always get the chance to show off everything they can do. Was that something that you kind of already had, or did you have to do extra training for that?
Well, in drama school, we would have done a lot of combat, and we would have done our combat exams. And it was something that I sort of kept up a bit after drama school as well, because I was just interested in it. So I would keep doing workshops in it to keep myself fresh. And I always enjoyed combat because it was like, I like dance and I like yoga. So I feel like they kind of, it's not that it's the same, but it's that kind of awareness of your body. It's almost like you're learning a dance routine when you're doing a when you're choreographing a fight. And on that set, particular set, we had a great fight director, so he was really good at preparing us and getting us ready. So it's great to go in a bit prepared. Yeah. In terms of horse riding, I need to do more because I'm not a strong horse rider at all.
And I guess it's so different to, and you've done a number of one-woman shows now, so the show that you've got coming up, which is just yourself on the stage, and you're someone who's been doing spoken word. It's maybe kind of quite in vogue at the moment, but you've been doing it for quite a long time. This has been, I think, is this your sixth or seventh show that you're going to be bringing to the theatre upstairs?
This is my seventh show, and so my last six shows, they were all one-woman shows. This is actually a two-person show. Myself and another actress, Roxana McLean, is playing the other character in it. And yes, since 2009, 2010 was when I wrote Life, and that was interweaving kind of poetry, spoken word with movement and theatre. So yeah, it's definitely fashionable now, which is good because it's just a means of expression. And I tried with this show to fight against it because it's so in vogue. I went, no, I'm not going to do the poetry thing. I'm going to try. And then I realised that it's actually how I express myself the best. So I actually needed it. I needed to have it in. But, you know, I was kind of almost fighting against it because it's popular.
So first of all, tell us, I See You. It's got an amazing woman at the centre of this story.
Yes, her name was Lady Mary Heath. She was Limerick born. She was the first female commercial pilot. She lived in early 1900s Ireland and beyond. But she was an incredible woman. She was the first to fly the length of Africa on a solo flight. She was a champion athlete. She addressed the International Olympic Committee to try and get women's sports put in the programme. She was the first person to parachute out of a plane, man or woman. She was married three times in early 1900s Ireland, like completely unheard of. You know, her last marriage was to a black man, stuff that just was not happening in Ireland then. So she was this incredible woman, and Melanie Lynch, from her story, which is a movement dedicated to reclaiming the lost stories of Irish women, she showed me this character after seeing one of my one-woman shows and saying, like, you have to do something about this woman. So I started writing I really didn't want to do another play. You know, I was like, no, I don't want to write another show. I've been doing loads of them. And it just kept coming to me, and it kept coming. And I then worked with Fish Amble's New Play Clinic as well, and it kind of just it broke it open a little bit more. And I was kind of at that time was realizing that, you know, it was definitely a two-person show. And yeah, so it just kind of grew legs, and here I am, and it's going to be on.
And this story, you've got a kind of unique way in telling this story, because you're going to bring together a modern day Mary to go up against the other one.
Exactly. So in this place, you know, Lady Mary's been lost in the walls of history, and we sort of find her in the walls, basically, when we first meet her. And it's sort of paralleled with this story about a modern Mary character who is stuck in an abusive relationship after she falls pregnant. And she, Lady Mary, tries to communicate with modern Mary through soundscape and poetry, spoken word, in order for modern Mary to sort of make a change and break out of this abusive, oppressive cycle. And it's really interesting, because the more we delve into it, the more we look at the kind of cycles of female oppression. It's a great piece. There's a lot of depth to it. There's a lot of humour in it, because Lady Mary was a funny kind of, she was a unique character, you know. She had a bit of sparkle, and that's what's really nice about it as well.
Yeah,
so we can talk about these subject matters, but with a bit of humour as well.
Absolutely, and as you've described as well, she was such a trailblazer, and, you know, we need women like this to inspire us, so it's absolutely fantastic that you're bringing her story to life, but also bringing your own take to her story and bringing it into a modern setting that's relevant for modern audiences.
Exactly, and we were saying that, like, you know, nowadays, you know, younger women don't really have role models, because these stories have been lost of the women that went before us 100 years ago. We should have been inspired many years ago by these women and kept building on what they had achieved, you know. But because of the way the world is at the moment, people are famous just for being famous. So kind of the issue of role models, we very few people to look up to. So that's why these kind of stories are really important for us to be inspired by as well.
Absolutely. And in a year where it's 100 years of women's suffrage, it's, I think people have really remembered, you know, like to go, oh my God, you know, when you read the story of the suffragettes actually and you look what they went through and, you know, how far have we come? I mean, you know, there was the whole Me Too kind of movement last year. I mean, you're an actor, you're in one of the professions that's meant to be one of the worst for women. What's your take on kind of where we're at the moment in women and in terms of the kind of film and TV industry as well?
Yeah, I feel like it's starting to, we're starting to break out now. A change is happening, but it's kind of like everyone is saying it's a pendulum is swinging so far one way and so far the other way that we're kind of seeking the balance now at the moment because, you know, the industry can be so extreme in the treatment of women, you know, and people, everyone has a story, but there are definitely levels to what women have suffered, you know, in the TV and film industry. But yeah, so I feel like it's definitely changing, but it's slow. And, you know, a big part of it is that we have to have respect for the good men out there, for the guys who are, you know, who are standing up for the women, because we don't want to exclude them and then it become a man versus woman kind of issue, because it's not. It's a few bad eggs in a, you know.
And of course,
in an industry.
In terms of, and also equality for every human is equality for the next human. And of course, in terms of men, there's a lot of problems with suicide and so on. But actually,
exactly.
The more equal women are, the better the world's going to be, kind of to make things better for them as well. You know, I think, you know, we're human beings first, and then we're kind of feminist second, perhaps. But, you know, the reality is women are suffering more iniquity in society than men at the moment, though, of course, they have their own unique struggles, which we need to be on board with as well. So to ask you then, Amy, I mean, have there been any kind of actors or writers that have inspired you or have influenced your work along the way?
Oh, God, so many. Where do I begin? I think the theatre actor Pat Kinavan, who has one-man shows, I think he's on his fourth now at the moment. After I had done Life, I felt like I was in a sort of a place where, you know, Life was my first one-man show back in 2009, 2010. I kind of thought, oh, is anyone doing this? Is there anyone out there who feels the same as me? And I remember going to see one of Pat Kinavan's shows, and he is incredible. It's watching art. You don't feel like, you know, it's not someone acting at you. You go in, you have an experience, and you feel changed by it. That's the only way I can describe his theatre shows. So he's definitely been an inspiration in that way to kind of keep going, and that, you know, I feel like, oh yeah, no, I'm doing the right thing. I know, you know, this is cool. Other people are there. There's people out there that are doing this. Yeah, there's so many, but that was one. That's one that really sticks out, is in kind of the specific thing that I'm doing with my own writing. That's a huge influence.
And so in terms of film as well, I mean, more and more better roles for women are starting to emerge, but there's still been a historic problem with female characters not having very, very much screen time or being in roles where really they only talk about guys or washing up or whatever it is. Obviously, you write your own work for the stage, and you have done, I know, short films. Are you thinking at any point that you would write your own feature film as well?
Yes, well, I've written a feature film, but it's at the stage where I need to actually go back and rework some elements of it. That's sort of the next thing, is that I do want to get that feature film off the ground, because, you know, it would be a female-led film, and it's two well-rounded women who aren't relying on men and all those kind of things. And, you know, they say the Bechdel test, where are they only talking about men? Do they have an identity of their own? All of that kind of thing. They're two kind of well-rounded female characters, you know, because particularly it's very difficult if you're not a famous actress. It can be very difficult to get a good role in a film or TV project that's even a supporting female role, because often it can just be like the wife of someone or their girlfriend or the, you know, and it's kind of one aspect to them.
And obviously, when you were in the Jason Bourne film, I don't know, how did you get a chance to get to know Matt Damon in any way? Or could you go back and make him the executive producer of your film?
I'd love to. No, well, he wasn't in my scenes. He was on set for a few days when I was there, because we were chasing him. We were chasing him, basically, was the premise from the hub. So basically, we're trying to catch him at this point. So I didn't get to work opposite him. My scenes were with Alicia Vikander and Tommy Lee Jones, but he was on set. And yeah, it was really, really nice and really normal and really friendly. So sure, look, if he was willing today, because I'd give him the script.
Apparently, Martin Scorsese takes $1 million to be the executive producer on a film. And all he does for that is he hands it to someone else and says, this is good, you should make it. But I think he deserves every penny because he basically gets the film financed.
Yeah, yeah.
So offer Matt Damon $1 million to be the executive producer and hand your film hand your film to somebody.
Right, I'm on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to speak to my people, see what happens.
So listen, you've got as well some exciting news in terms of telly coming up as well. So you're going to be in one of the best known TV, well, you've been in some pretty well-known TV shows already, but there's a British classic that's on the horizon.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm going to be on Coronation Street for 4 episodes at the end of May, beginning of June, playing a character called Adele. And yeah, it's very funny because no matter what the work I've done before, this has the biggest reaction when I tell people, oh, I'm doing Coronation Street. And everyone's like, what? And then I was sending pictures home of me outside the Rover's Return.
Yeah.
And my mum I could be doing any film ever, and my mum's like, oh, that's great, fair play to you, like, you know, she's real chill about it. But as soon as I told her about Coronation Street, I got the phone call, like, with screaming down the phone. She's been watching it since my eldest sister was a baby, basically.
There's a very big percentage of people that watch that show.
Exactly. So yeah, I think it's just that people, it's always on, you're always aware of it. And it's a, for sure, I watched it when I was a kid myself. Like, I was real into the soaps when I was a kid. So like, I can see how easily you can be, because and everyone knows every storyline that's going on. Even if you're not watching it, they know who you're talking about. You say who your scene's with, they're like, oh yeah, know that person, you know. But it was a really lovely experience. They're like, genuinely, because I've heard some horror stories from, you know, people going on a well-established TV show or auditioning for it or anything like that, and literally from day one, from the audition to, you know, when we wrapped, they are all dream to work with. They're lovely, and it is a real family, and they're just so lovely to work with, just really kind of, you know, hardworking and but yet relaxed at the same time.
So are you playing an Irish character or are you doing a Northern accent?
No, I'm playing an Irish character. It was originally actually for a London character, and it went in prepared, well, not prepared, you're not allowed to see the script that you're auditioning for before you arrive because of all the kind of confidentiality and stuff. And I went in knowing it was a character from London, and I did my London accent. And
right,
then they were saying, actually, yeah, I was like, all right, well, say what? But then they were saying, oh, actually, they were going, actually, because, you know, we thought it might be interesting to have an Irish voice in it. So, like, can you do it in an Irish accent? I was like, yes. Because then you've one less thing to think about. So it was great. And again, it's one of those things where you go, look, I'm only in 4 episodes, but sure, you know, you notice a different accent. So it's always nice to stand out and be an Irish person in something, you know, when you're abroad. It's kind of nice to fly the flag.
Well, we'll certainly look out for that. And of course, before that, your brand new play, I See You, is going to be coming up. So listen, we're going to play a clip of that before we leave you. So do you want to tell us a little bit about the clip that we're going to hear?
So this is Because I Am Woman speech. It is sort of the first point where Lady Mary and Modern Mary begin to merge, and Modern Mary actually gets a bit of kind of strength at this point, and she kind of starts to make a change from this point onwards. And I guess it's kind of a speech of anger, shouting at the kind of oppression of women, yeah, and the injustice. So I hope you enjoy, and I'll let it speak for itself.
Well, I can't wait to see this play. It sounds absolutely amazing. And if anyone listening wants to see Amy in this show, it's on at the Theatre Upstairs from the 11th to the 26th of May. You can also check out everything about Amy on her website, amydebrune.net. And of course, her story, which she mentioned, bringing all these wonderful stories of Irish women to life, is herstory.ie. And are you on social media as well, Amy? Where can people follow you on Twitter or Instagram?
Yes, Twitter and Instagram, I am on the handle at Amy Devroon. And yes, oh, and Facebook, it's facebook.com/ Amy Devroon One Woman Shows, or ICU underscore play as well. So both are in there with information about the show.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for joining us. And we're now going to hear Amy Devroon in a clip from ICU.
Thank you so much.
Because I'm woman, you think you can whistle. Because I'm woman, you think you can wiggle your little finger at me in some desperate attempt to belittle what I'm trying to achieve. I'm merely going from A to B, and you, sir, have the audacity to wag that little finger at me. That tiny, puny, shriveled stick that is indicative of your shriveled. But alas, I have class, so I'll bite my tongue. And aren't you the lucky one to live in a world where you can react and everything is simply white and it's black? Because if I react, I'm emotional, unreasonable, hysterical, unbearable. But what's unbearable is the titles we've been branded with in order to keep us down and keep us silent, keeping us voiceless, choiceless, making our existence pointless. An ornament, something to look at with or without consent. The interior is inferior to this pretty exterior. Interior is inferior. Do you mean my mind? For I have the same brain as you. Do you mean my womb? The tomb that housed your growing soul? An entire universe in one tiny organ, and I have to stand here and listen to your jargon and look at that condescending finger which I helped grow inside my chamber. Me and all the others who went through labour to bore such an ignoramus who can become famous and land himself in the whitest of houses, in the land of the free, where you can be whoever you want to be. As long as what you want to be is a white middle-aged man in a van who has the audacity to wag his finger at me and claim that I am free to disagree. But if I do, I am emotional, unreasonable, hysterical, unbearable. So I don't. And I swallow it down, so I don't lose this crown which states I'm a lady. But sometimes, just maybe, I don't want to be a lady, or the one who carries your baby. And maybe, just maybe, I want autonomy over my very own body, or the right to discuss without the disgust of thinking I'm a feminist who doesn't get the gist of the complicatedness of life. Well, how the fuck could I not understand the complicated nature of life if I'm the very one to house it, grow it, and give birth to it? So put that in your shriveled little pipe and smoke it.